Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone. Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you here on a Wednesday. Remember, we're live each and every Wednesday. If you're catching us later on via the podcast or the archives, always like to have you listen to the Red Zone whenever you can. That's the beauty of it here at KCChiefs.com. But if you want to be a part of the conversation in the chat room with fellow Chiefs fans from the Chiefs Kingdom, it is 3 o'clock each and every Wednesday, 3 o'clock Central Time. For those that are joining us from time zones around the world, we say hello to our friends in the armed forces, as I get a lot of folks, get a number of emails from the folks here in the Red Zone from the armed forces. Remember, you can email us, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is redzone@kcchiefs.org. Big Red Zone today. We're going to talk to Kendall Gammon, chief sideline reporter, coming up here in a little bit, get his thoughts on where this team is as it now looks straight ahead at training camp, the next step for the team. Certainly free agency could still be a part of the equation, and I think will figure in as a part of the equation. But training camp up next. We'll talk to Kendall Gammon about what's going on with the players right now, how they're approaching things, his thoughts on the team, what is going to be key going into this year. I think, and we'll get into this a little bit here in a minute, the division could be wide open, and we'll talk about why the division could be wide open. Not San Diego as a runaway favorite, but wide open. We'll talk about that with Kendall Gammon as well. Also, Jovan Belcher, Chiefs linebacker, is going to join us a little bit later on. From the Maine Black Bears, one of the undrafted rookies that made a very big impact and a young man that has been running with the first team unit at times here during OTAs. Todd Haley, head coach of the Chiefs, says, caution, don't read too much into the depth chart or who's running with what team, that they're mixing and matching to try to get different looks and see how guys fit in with their teammates. So we won't say he's a starting linebacker, but certainly showed a lot of promise last year and has at times run with the first team in the OTAs. Jovan Belcher coming up a little bit later on in the Red Zone. Let's talk about the news of the week. We finally got something, I think some stuff to really chew on here with the Chiefs. Number one, workouts wrapping up, ending practice. Next to last practice, about a half hour early, and then basically after they stretched it out, canceling the last practice, Todd Haley said, liked the work and wanted to reward the guys, so letting them out early, I think that is a great sign. I think if things were ugly, Todd Haley would not have let them go. It doesn't mean because you have a great OTA that you're going to have a great season, but you'd rather have a great OTA than a crappy one. And the Chiefs certainly had one that was good enough for Todd Haley to go ahead and let the guys out early. I think that's positive sign number one. Maybe a bit of a negative. Jared Page, as we broadcast right now, still not signed, has not signed his tender, which means that if they don't come to an agreement on some kind of deal, he could be sitting out the first 10 weeks of the season. And at that point, maybe even the entire year. So holding out right now, Jared Page, it should be pointed out, would have been an unrestricted free agent with 4 years in and a contract that's completed. Would have been an unrestricted free agent, but because of the uncapped year, he is not allowed to go. There were poison pills both sides. Uncapped means teams can spend a lot of money. The other side is free agents after 4 and 5 years. Guys that would have been free agents after 4 and 5 years are now committed to their old team. Jared Page would have been on the open market, able to shop his services to 32 teams. Instead, he was a restricted free agent with about a $1.7 million price tag. Nobody putting that offer sheet out there would have cost them a second-round pick had they done it. The Chiefs hold his rights and will continue to hold his rights, even though he has not signed. So Jared Page still out there. We'll see if anything budges, anything changes on that. Monday cuts. Monday, the Chiefs cut six football players, six different players, starting with quarterback Matt Gutierrez, running back Colby Smith, tight end Leroy Banks, DB Andre Jones, offensive lineman Nick Landry, and Jermail Porter were all cut. Landry and Porter seem to be offensive line depth for this team, prospects with an outside shot of making the club. Guys to fill out the rotation in camp. They are let go. Andre Jones, defensive back, kind of similar situation. Leroy Banks had shown some signs, but the fact that he is let go means Probably they like what they're seeing out of the tight ends. Tony Moiaki has impressed. The third-round pick out of Iowa, tight end, has been impressive, made some great catches, which is important. I think if Leroy Banks is let go, you can read into this that, one, Moiaki is progressing, and they feel like he is going to be not just a guy they keep on the roster and develop for the future, but a guy that can make an impact for this football team right away. It perhaps also means that Brad Cottom is progressing nicely from injury, and you feel like the tight end position is going to be pretty solid. Leroy Banks out, Andre Jones out. Nick Landry and Jermail Porter on the offensive line out. Now, let's go to the top two. I think these are the two that are the most noteworthy. Running back Colby Smith, released by the Kansas City Chiefs, 3 years in the organization, had 150 yards in a game in his rookie year, showed some signs, is a good all-around running back, certainly a fine backup running back. The Chiefs decide to go in a different direction. What does this mean for the football team? Well, it may mean that Jackie Battle, who at times impressed last year in training camp before getting hurt early in the season and at times depressed with his fumbles, may mean that Jackie Battle is making his way back into shape, getting back from the injury and going to be a big part of the running back situation. Or perhaps it's some of the other youngsters, some of the other undrafted players that are part of the equation. You figure Mike Cox is leading the fullback battle with Tim Castile, and Tim Castile was active on this football team a number of games last year. He very well could be a part of the running back mix. We know Jamal Charles and Thomas Jones are going to be the 1-2 punch. Who fills out the rest of those running backs? You figure they'll want a fullback. That would mean Mike Cox would be up front, or Tim Castile. That's probably the battle there for the fullback, with Castile having the ability to play more of a one back and actually be a threat out of the backfield carrying the football. If you're going to carry, that'd be your third back. One of those two would be your third. Then who would be four and five? I think you're going to carry five backs, if not six. One of the beauties of carrying extra running backs is they can play special teams. Now, and they're excellent special teams players. The athleticism that comes with the running back position means that you can get down the field in a hurry. You generally have good strength to where you can take on a block, beat somebody, and actually work in the coverage units or the return units. Couple of things, though. Thomas Jones, at his age, is not going to be a part of the special teams, and I doubt Jamal Charles, with the productivity he showed, is going to be a big part of the special teams anymore. You can really rule those two out, so three or four more backs. I think perhaps four more backs if you've got some quality special teams players. So special teams may be what decides who wins the battle. Jackie Battle, speaking of. Javaris Williams, last year's seventh-round draft pick out of Tennessee State. I'm going to make sure I try to pronounce it right. Keaston Moore from Florida. And then Tavares Johnson from Miami is probably your running back mix. You figure two of those four guys make this roster, and maybe three. If you say a fullback, we'll give it to Mike Cox because he's the returning starter. And then three guys, Tim Castile, Jackie Battle, Javaris Williams, Keaston Moore, and Tavares Johnson. Three of those players figure to make this team. If they like their special teams players elsewhere, if the linebacker position is loaded up and they like their linebackers and they feel like they've got guys that can cover kicks and return, the linebacker spot, the other one that is an outstanding position to find special teams players. If the linebackers are deep, then perhaps that limits the number of running backs you take. It's all part of the roster shuffle. But I think the fact that they walk away from Colby Smith says they like their running back spot. And Jamal Charles and Thomas Jones figure to be the 1-2 punch. Now, many a team has gotten all the way to its third running back. The Chiefs had better, and I'm sure they do, like one of these other running backs carrying the football, because it's a distinct possibility. Jackie Battle, to this point, two of the guys haven't had a chance really to show anything in a Chiefs uniform. Jackie Battle has shown the ability to carry the football. Maybe this means Jackie Battle moves up and is in a good position to be that third running back for the team. But one of the battles to watch when we get to St. Joe will be those running backs and how it all fits together. That position just opened wide up. And then I think another one that is huge, is Matt Gutierrez being released. That means Tyler Palco, number four, when you go up to our St. Joe to check out training camp. Number four, Tyler Palco, is now the number three quarterback. The book on Palco, been a journeyman in the NFL, to say the very least. Undrafted in 07 after he got done at Pitt, signed as a rookie free agent with New Orleans. So you know we got some good coaching there, being around Drew Brees, being around Sean Payton, who's an offensive guru, and the fact that he was in New Orleans with Sean Payton means that Todd Haley's probably equipped with an outstanding scouting report on him. In Dallas, they overlapped for 2 years when Sean Payton was the assistant head coach and quarterback coach. Todd Haley at the time was the wide receiver coach and passing coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. So they worked hand-in-hand, certainly very closely with the Dallas Cowboys, their 2 years down there together. You would assume that there was a great bit of information exchanged on what Tyler Palko can bring to the equation. Out of football in 08 till December, signed late with the Arizona Cardinals, was with them through their offseason program into September of 09, where he's released just before the season began. Went to the Montreal Alouettes, where he was on the practice squad, then activated but did not play, and then signed by the Pittsburgh Steelers, where really, because of injury, he was elevated all the way to the number two quarterback at one point last year. Signed by the Chiefs at the end of last year, the number four quarterback. He is now the number three quarterback with Matt Gutierrez being out. Keep in mind one other thing, an interesting trivia question for you. Joe Flacco left Pitt because of Tyler Palko. Tyler Palko was the starter, and when Joe Flacco could not unseat Tyler Palko, he headed out and transferred to Delaware, where he starred, and ultimately would be a late first-round pick of the Baltimore Ravens. Tyler Palko is probably one of the three best quarterbacks in the history of Pitt football. Dan Marino being at the top, Alex Van Pelt being number two, and then Tyler Palko was a very productive quarterback for the Pitt Panthers. A bit undersized when you see him out there wearing number four. He's going to look a little bit like a previous number four. Help me out here. Traded down to Miami. Tyler Thigpen, thank you. He's going to look similar to Tyler Thigpen, not just wearing the number, but also size-wise, about 6'1", kind of a stocky athletic build, 215, 220 maybe. Might try to tell you he's 6'2". I've seen him listed at 6'1", but an athletic quarterback, but not a scrambler, not a runner the way Tyler Thigpen was in college. He was a passer at Pitt and very productive. He moves up to the number three spot. That says there's confidence in Tyler Palko if they're going to let Matt Gutierrez go. Now, keep your eye on the quarterback spot because this position is not done. There will have to be some other kind of movement. You'll want another quarterback in there. They're going to need a fourth quarterback to make all the throws in training camp. So there will be some more movement to come, perhaps at that quarterback position. But Matt Gutierrez out means a changing of the guard for the Kansas City Chiefs. As far as their backup quarterback, and Gutierrez is a guy that obviously known very well by the Chiefs organization. And if they're going to walk away from him, as Scott Pioli worked with him in New England, it means that there is certainly a level of comfort with Tyler Palko. There is a level of comfort, I think, without a doubt. Brody Croyle is the number two starting quarterback, is the number two quarterback behind Matt Cassel, that there is confidence in him to get that job done. And now they move forward with what they hope is a better athlete at the quarterback spot. But again, there will need to be another quarterback brought in, which brings us to the roster total, which now sits at 81. 81 players, but only 73 signed. Number 74 is Jared Page, who we already mentioned. He is not under contract. So he does not count towards or would not count until they get to the draft picks getting signed. And then they need seven spots to sign draft picks. So if they were to get a deal done with Jared Page and signed all seven picks in one day, one more football player would have to be cut. And I dare say a second one to bring in a fourth quarterback to go to training camp with. So I think there are probably two more cuts that are going to happen before training camp, assuming they get all the draft picks signed. Josh Looney here at KCChiefs.com had a nice piece. If you checked it out, he talked about, I think it was June 18th, was when the first draft pick signed last year. So no need to panic. We're still 2 days away from it. Start looking for something to come down pretty soon, as we are 2 days away from it. But no need to panic that the Chiefs have not gotten any of their draft picks signed at this point, as Ryan Succop was the first one about 2 days from now to sign last year. So start watching for those draft picks to get signed. You're seeing them start to sign around the league, and I think you'll see the Chiefs start putting them together. And I think these the four releases were a part of opening up, or excuse me, the six releases on Monday were a part of opening up the spots to get the draft pick signed. I would expect in the next couple of days you're going to start seeing several of the draft picks start coming in. In the next week for sure, you're going to start seeing towards the bottom, probably the fifths will come in first, then the thirds, the seconds, and then ultimately the first-round draft pick will be the last. I have no doubt right up to the brink of training camp. That's usually how it works, a standoff between agent and team. So expect Eric Berry last. Look for the two-fifths to come in first on this. But I think we're starting to see the shape of what the roster is going to look like. The seven draft picks, one more, and I say probably two more to get that fourth quarterback in. Who that will be, we'll see. And that fourth quarterback will battle Tyler Palco for the number three spot on the roster. I mentioned the San Diego Chargers. I think it's important to take a look at what they're doing. They are the team that has set the standard in the AFC West. And we mentioned the deadline on Jared Page coming and going as far as signing the tender offer. The deadline has come and gone for the San Diego Chargers as well, and that means Marcus McNeil and Vincent Jackson are not signed. They're in the same boat as Jared Page with the San Diego Chargers. The difference is the Chiefs have drafted two safeties and look like they've drafted over and perhaps are even ready to move on from Jared Page. Who knows? He was certainly going to get an opportunity to compete. But they have other young guys that they drafted that are a part of this regime that they like. The San Diego Chargers have signed Trey Thomas to play that left tackle spot. But Trey Thomas getting up there in years. Marcus McNeil was their starting left tackle. Starting left tackle. And the indications are that he is dug in and ready to sit out the 10 weeks or even the whole year and prepared for a lockout, a labor stoppage of any kind, that he is dug in and is financially ready to sit out the year and even go through any kind of work stoppage that might come about in the NFL next year. If that's true, that means their starting left tackle is out this year. And then Vincent Jackson, their number one wide receiver. To me, this is a critical situation for the Chargers. They're a very good football team. They've got a lot of talent on that team. They've got Phillip Rivers, which is a great place to start with that team. But we're watching a lot of the San Diego Chargers that have been a part of their playoff years here over the last 5 or 6 years start to make their way out, whether it's Jamal Williams on the defensive side of the ball, and then the trade of Antonio Cromartie. Remember, their starting corner was traded to the New York Jets. Antonio Cromartie sent packing during the offseason as well. You're talking about the number one corner, and at least number one cover corner. Quentin Jammer can play, but the number one cover corner is Antonio Cromartie. The number one corner, the number one wideout, and the starting left tackle. If you ask people how do you build a franchise, well, clearly it starts with the quarterback. After that, the premium positions are a pass rusher, someone to protect against the pass rusher, the left tackle, and a cover corner. Then next would probably be the premier wideout. Left tackle, cover corner, wideout. Not part of the equation right now for the San Diego Chargers. Could open up the AFC West wide open. Wide open. And we'll see if the schedule smiles on one of the other teams in the league. In other words, one of the teams, a bunch of the teams project to be good to end up playing down from that level and give somebody an opening. The schedule smiles with early home games to get going. Late home games to make a run. Maybe somebody can steal the division away from the San Diego Chargers. The Bolts, remember, open the 13th at Arrowhead Stadium, and they look like they will do it, certainly without Antonio Cromartie, but also without Marcus McNeil and without Vincent Jackson. Stay tuned. Keep your eye on that because it could make the division easier to win. One other nugget from around the league that I think is something to keep in mind as a Chiefs fan, Albert Haynesworth. The prize of the free agent market last year is holding out with the Washington Redskins and is now publicly, we've heard rumors of this for a while, but it's now publicly demanded a trade from the Redskins. $100 million contract, $40-plus million guaranteed, $21 million roster bonus paid to him this past year. I think it's roughly $3 million guaranteed in salary this year, about $5 million guaranteed in salary next year, and he wants a trade. Think about that. Think about how much cash has gone out the door. Think about how much cap room last year and projecting ahead when we get back into the cap era of football. Think about how much of that is tied up in a guy who now wants to leave. Because that $21 million bonus has been paid out, it will get a lot easier to trade him. It's an uncapped year. That makes it very easy to trade him. The salaries are doable. The question is, can anybody give up the picks they want? You could talk about Albert Haynesworth to the Chiefs. I don't think it's a fit. Number one, they're in a 3-4. That's part of his beef, is that they're going from a 4-3 to a 3-4, and he doesn't like the idea of playing nose tackle. That's something to consider. When you invest all that money in a guy to come in and play one system, and then you say, nah, we're scrapping that. We're going a new direction, new head coach. How's that guy going to react? You'd hope he'd be a team player and say, fine, I'll play the nose. But instead, he's saying, hey, I'm a 4-3 D tackle. I want to play the 4-3. Think about that. When you assess the Chiefs, they have not been sexy or flashy in free agency, but they also don't have $40 million thrown down the toilet and holding out right now on their roster. Something to think about. When we come back, we'll think about Chiefs football with Kendall Gammon, sideline reporter for the Chiefs. He's next here in the Red Zone.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster. The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com. Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you as we roll through a busy Wednesday here in the Chiefs Kingdom. Joining us now, Chiefs sideline reporter and, of course, former Chief and All-Pro himself, Kendall Gammon, is with us. Kendall, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Soren?
Not too bad. I want to throw something by you here real quick just because I talked about it at the end of our last segment, and that is I think the second place in this division was wide open. As you looked at where the Broncos were, what they were trying to accomplish, where the Raiders were, where the Chiefs are, I felt like second place was wide open and the Chargers were a heavy favorite coming into this thing for next year. But now, as we're getting around to the tender offers, and we know Jared Page hasn't signed his, he's still out with the Chiefs, the Chargers traded away their starting corner, Antonio Cromartie, back around draft time, and now they have two guys in a similar situation as Jared Page, except it's their starting left tackle in Marcus McNeil, and it's their number one wide receiver in Vincent Jackson. I'm still going to call San Diego the favorite. Till the champ is beat, they're the favorite. And they've got more, you know, quality players than just those three guys. But those are some significant hits. Your top cover corner, your left tackle, and your number one wide out. That could make this division wide open, don't you think?
I absolutely agree, Seren. You know what? I think, quite honestly, I think San Diego is past their window of opportunity to get it all done, which I think they had a chance to do a while back. But now, not getting old, but you have people start to leave there, and it's not the same team. And like you said, I agree. It was a race for second place in the last couple of years. But I think the whole division is open. I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised with some of the things that they should see from the Chiefs this year. I've contended all along, and I've been through it in my career in terms of playing for new coaches. Now, that first year is always difficult because you're just not sure what to expect. And then you're never in a comfort level playing in the NFL, but once you get into that second year with a head coach and you know what to expect, I think the Chiefs will respond much better. And again, I think there's just a lot of things that aren't tied up with all the teams right now in this division.
I definitely think the glass is half full when we look around at the other teams. I think the glass is half full when you look at the Chiefs being in year two under Todd Haley. But to be fair, let's look at the part that might be empty, and that would be that, yes, it's year two for Todd Haley, but it's year one for Charlie Weiss and year one for Romeo Crennel. How much might that stunt that big leap forward? I'm with you. I think year two is when generally teams will take that big jump forward because everybody knows what to expect and they can actually get down to game planning and not just figuring out exactly what the coach wants for reps and practice and where you're supposed to go, when you're supposed to be there. So I think year two is a chance to leap forward, except there are perhaps some reins on this one because it's two new coordinators. How much does that hold them back?
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I think that's true in most cases. And in my opinion, this is a little bit different animal, though, because you've got coordinators that are familiar with Haley and just everything that's going on. And I don't know, I just think it holds some weight that they did what they did for so long, and they did it together in terms of being at New England. And I just think I think the working environment, everything going on there, I think is probably farther along than if it were just, I'll just say this, if it were two other coordinators that came in. I just think it's different because of who it is.
Yeah, but who it is, the fact that there's a working relationship with the general manager, there's a working relationship with the head coach, but on the offensive side of the ball, which I think is the most important because we know that's where Todd Haley's focus on game day is going to be. He and Charlie Weiss, because of their time with the Jets, should work together. I'm with you. I just don't want to sound like a cheerleader and saying, boy, everything's gone to hell in San Diego, but it's roses here in Kansas City. I think it looks pretty good here in Kansas City, and I think people should be really excited about training camp getting going in St. Joe. What goes on now that the mini camps are done? Is it, quick, get to the pasta and ice cream as fast as you can, or is there more working out in preparation for training camp? What's going through the players' minds?
Well, there's nothing wrong with getting to some of the pasta and ice cream as long as you make sure that it's not there when you get to camp. You know what, I think it's an important thing for the players to show how they're committed and how they're working to stay fit, because I guarantee you they've got some type of fitness test they've got to test, get back to, or rather pass when they get back there. For me, it was always kind of an uneasy time because it's always easy to work out in a structured environment. But then when you go out on your own, for me, I always felt like I needed to prove something, that I could be trusted to keep my body in shape and get ready for the rigors of long snapping, but to get ready for training camp and be ready to go and have that trust level that you didn't always have to watch over me. And I think that's something that the trust is being built on both sides. And you know, I think they'd like to think that they can let them go for a month, 5 weeks, and they can come back in the same shape and you don't lose what you developed in the off season in terms of the physical side of things. And to me, that's very important. And, you know, I don't think they'll lose anything that they've developed emotionally. I've heard it's been a closer locker room, which you would naturally expect in the second year because now you know what to expect to a degree. But when it comes down to it, you're a professional. You've got to perform like a professional, and you've got to conduct yourself as such. So while you want to have a little time to relax and do some things, the fact is that you've still got a job. You've got to be ready physically when you go to camp.
How does the heat in St. Joe change things? How does having what should be much larger crowds of Chiefs fans there watching practice change things? Both positives. I'm not saying that the heat's a negative and the crowd's a positive. I think you know that would be everyone's knee-jerk reaction, but it could be that the heat gets guys in better shape and that ends up being a positive. It could be that the crowd becomes a distraction or guys play to the crowd more instead of working on what it is they need to work on. How do you think St. Joe changes things?
Well, I think it is a big deal because when I remember last year that I went to camp in River Falls, the average temperature that year was 76, and it was not humid. Now, you're going to have a whole different ball game now. And, you know, that's tough to deal with. Token, I think you find out a lot about a player in terms of how they play and how they concentrate when they're tired and it's humid outside and it's 95 degrees. And while you don't play in those conditions very often in the NFL, you do some. And I think, quite honestly, the coaches see that as a positive for a little while because they can get a sense of what the mental makeup is of guys. Now, moving on to the crowd, I think that's a great thing, number one, for the fans to be able to come out and see their team in preseason, and more people have a chance to get there and see them. You know, it kind of reminds me back to my days with the Steelers when they could come to Latrobe and it was an hour away, and you had those crowds there. And what I remember was you had a lot of people there every day, and even on those days when you're starting to be, you had to trudge through things, and you're in week two, week three, week four. Having that crowd there and helping provide some energy really makes a big difference. So I think that helps out quite a bit because it really doesn't matter who you are. Normally, if you know people are watching, I think there's a little bit more pride there with what's going on, and you just have a tendency to perform a little bit better, and I think it's a thing.
Kendall Gammon is the Chiefs sideline reporter. He joins us here in the red zone as the Chiefs now look ahead to training camp. It's the next part of the equation. Let's look at a couple of sides of the ball. Let's start on the offensive side. Number one, we touched on in the last segment about cutting Matt Gutierrez. First of all, they're going to need a fourth quarterback for training camp, so there will be another quarterback brought in. But what does this say about Tyler Palco, and what does it say about Brody Croyle? A lot of people thought Matt Gutierrez, when he was brought in last year, would rocket right by Brody Croyle because Scott Pioli had a working relationship with him from his days in New England. What does it say about the number two and number three quarterback in this roster?
Well, I agree with you on Gutierrez that they thought, it was assumed that he was going to be in here and be in here for the long haul in some way, shape, or form. When you talk about Brody Croyle, and then this guy was a teammate of mine, and it doesn't surprise me with him. I think he completely gained the respect of Todd Haley, and I'm sure he's doing the Charlie Watson there. He understands the game. He has absolutely no ego about him. All he wants to do is play football. I realize the injury issues have been there. But sometimes you do just have bad luck for a period of years, and he has. But I think he's an asset to a team because he works hard. He understands the game. He can be counted on to come in and do the right things if necessary, which you obviously hope is not necessary with having Castle there. But I think he plays in the league a long time now because of what he brings to a team, even if it's not a starter. Getting on to Falco, I don't know a lot about him. He and I had a chance to talk when we went to Whiteman Air Force Base, and it was interesting because, he played at Pittsburgh, and I've been there for 4 years. Really, to me, seemed like he had his head on straight and had some leadership qualities, kind of that hit that you talk about, and that must be something they see to bring him in here and then immediately release somebody else during the off season. So I think it's interesting, absolutely, and you're right. You would assume they're going to have a fourth QB because you just need those arms. You don't want everybody throwing their arm out. So that will be interesting.
Yeah, and I mentioned in the uniform, he's going to wear number four, and he looks about the same as Tyler Thigpen, about the same size. So he'll be easy to spot out there at camp when people get there. But he's one of the three best passing quarterbacks in the history of Pitt football. That's Alex Van Pelt and a guy named Dan Marino that would be there with him. And Joe Flacco transferred out to Delaware because Tyler Palco was going to be the starter at Pitt. Now, that's not to say that he's better than Joe Flacco or should be better than Joe Flacco. It's just pointing out that in college, he had some stiff competition in Joe Flacco, and he beat the guy out. I think that says something for him, and we'll see how he competes once they get the pads on up there at camp. The other move, Colby Smith being released, I'm interested in your thoughts, your experience, special teams, obviously the major influence on your career. How many running backs do you keep, and how vital is it, especially when you consider, I don't think 25 or 20, Jamal Charles or Thomas Jones are going to be playing a lot of snaps on special teams. How vital does the special teams part of the equation come into it as to what running backs will make this team?
Well, it's really huge. Obviously, as you just mentioned, won't be playing special teams, I wouldn't expect. So you've got to get it out of your other reserve running backs. And Colby, it didn't appear to me was somebody that would be doing that much. And quite honestly, you never know if he completely came back from the knee, so that could be an issue as well, obviously. So it will be interesting. You know, it's about 20%, I think. It's not as concerning. I guess I'm getting at is I think you have more people to play special teams when you have a team that has a 3-4 defense because you have more linebackers.
Right.
And they can take up some more spots. So I think it was more predicated on the fact that it's not going to play for us. Does he have the skills that he had when he came out of, I want to say, I'll correct me if I'm wrong, but and I just wonder about that, or if they're thinking, okay, with the backs we've got, is he going to play and do that much for us? And I think the answer was no, he probably not, and he maybe needs to go on his way, and he has, and I believe he's landed somewhere already, and quite honestly, they do very, very well.
Let's talk about, we're talking to Kendall Gammon here in the program. What about your expectations for number 7, the starting quarterback, Matt Castle? How much better does he need to get from year 1 to year 2 with the Chiefs for this team to be a playoff caliber team?
Well, I mean, I obviously think he wants to prove all of it. He has more confidence in his ability to sit back there and maybe take the extra quarter second and throw the ball or like he has. Grand all the time, which, you know, that being said, the fact of when he did get knocked down, and there was never any bad body language or anything. He just got up, you know, dusted himself out and went about his business. But I think as he has more confidence in the offensive line, that will only help him. And then I certainly think having the threats that he has from the running game is going to make a big difference as well. To me, Seren, everything at this point to me hinges on how the offensive line comes together.
Yeah, and that is going to be huge. Defensive side of the ball, Romeo Crennel steps in. They stay with the 3-4, obviously. To me, you tell me, I get your thoughts on this. The front seven is everything. I think a lot of people are going to be focused on Eric Berry once he gets signed in into camp. They're going to be focused on Javier Arenas, how he adds depth or even starts with the cornerbacks on this football team. But the front seven is going to be the defining piece that decides how good this football team is on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to have to put more pressure on the quarterback. They're going to have to do better against the run. And, you know, I know the D-line and the linebackers have different jobs, but really, in concert, they're going to have to work together, and they're going to have to play much better football. And, you know, we've gone through the numbers. Ed Reed's tackle numbers are not over the top, so if you know this team thinks Eric Berry is going to get 110, 120 tackles, and that's what's going to save them, boy, and I know that the organization isn't thinking that. Maybe the fans are. That's the wrong way to look at it. He needs to be back there to ball hawk and make plays, and yes, make plays in the run, but he can't be your primary run stopper. That's got to happen in the front seven. If this team's going to be a playoff team, and they made, you know, very little changes, one free agent addition, the front seven must take a giant step forward.
No, you're absolutely right. Number one, if you can't stop the run, then you're going to have problems on defense. We've seen that. The big thing to me is if you don't put pressure on the QB like you talked about, now all of a sudden that QB takes that drop and he throws that 22-yard skinny post right there to the hash. So quite honestly, if you've got eight in the box, then you're playing probably a three deep, and that safety's not going to be able to get to that point, and all of a sudden he's going down the field for seven. So he's not the answer to everything now. He's sounds like he's a great leader, and he's got some great skills and do some things. But the fact is, if you put pressure on the QB and you get them to do some things, get them out of their comfort zone a little bit, and now they release it a little bit quicker, or it's not as accurate. Now you've got balls bouncing up, you've got things going on, and now that's where your ball hawk back there can go and do some different things. And I don't remember this specifically, but it seems like he had a fair amount of interception and did some good things. But the fact is, you could have the best four defensive backs that have ever played the game, I think, in the NFL. And if you're not putting pressure on the QB, they're still probably going to have some success against them. So it comes down to getting the QB out of his comfort zone, I believe.
Former Pro Bowl long snapper Kendall Gammon is our guest. He's also handles the sideline duties for the Chiefs on 101 The Fox, the radio home for the Kansas City Chiefs. Final four time, Kendall. And we'll start with this one. How often do the fans yell, "Hey, Kendall," when you're doing your sideline reports?
You know what? Believe it or not, they do yell it a fair amount, which amazes me. that they know my name. It just kind of shows how dedicated the Chiefs fans are when they actually know who the long snapper was. So it's much appreciated. Now, sometimes I've got my headphones on and I'm kind of off in radio land, but I do hear it a fair amount, and it's much appreciated.
Very good. Very good. Good to know. All right. Would you trade for Albert Haynesworth?
Would I trade for him? That all depends on who I was trading to get him and how I felt about him after having an interview and talking with him at length. But you can't discount the fact that he's a disruptive force and he can make a difference, I think, on any team.
I'll put interest, but what? Hesitant.
TBD, to be determined.
To be determined. All right. I like that one. We'll put that one.
I know that's a washy answer, but
I like that. How long would it take you to get into playing shape?
You know what? At this point, it took about 8 weeks. I was becoming a schmo and not doing much, so I started P90X 8.5 weeks ago that I'm into it, and I actually do believe I'm in playing shape right now. I couldn't have said that 2.5 months ago, but I think normally, even in the off season, when you're not doing things, if you give yourself 6 to 7 weeks, you can get in playing shape.
Okay, and finally, was Pittsburgh State eyeing the Big 12 at one point during all the movement that was being discussed?
Well, we can neither confirm nor deny that we had talks with them. But obviously there was interest, and we were evaluating that interest and you know, whatever was best fit for Pittsburgh State and obviously the MIAA.
Very good. That was very commissioner-like of you in your response, so I like that a lot. Kendall, great stuff as always. We always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again down the road.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels, that a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer, 120, a jet engine, that studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster, more ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader Squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jamal Charles!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game! And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
Now, Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. It is the Red Zone. Soren Petro with you. Our thanks to Kendall Gammon joining us last segment, sideline reporter for the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in our next segment, we'll talk to Jovan Belcher, linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, and a guy who may very well factor in to that starting spot. As I said earlier, he did take some reps, has taken some reps in OTAs with the first unit. Do not read too much into that, but a guy that showed some signs of being a player, certainly an outstanding special teams player, a guy that loves to stick his nose in there and be a part of the play, and also Derek Johnson running with the first team as well at times. We know what he's capable of, his athleticism, for whatever reason. The Chiefs not liking him as an every-down linebacker, really using him as a third-down linebacker, and he excelled with some huge interceptions, big turnovers, big plays for this football team in the Raven game and certainly in the last game against the Denver Broncos. Two pick sixes for the Chiefs. If those two would be inserted into the starting lineup, you would have Mike Vrabel, a former third-round pick, free agent, signing with the Patriots and then a trade to the Chiefs, but a third-rounder initially when he came into the league. You'd have a first-rounder in Derek Johnson, an undrafted player in Jovan Belcher, and a first-rounder in Tamba Haley. I went back and looked at the linebacker quartets of the most recent 3-4 Super Bowl winners. That'd be the last two Steelers championships in 08 and 05, and the last three Patriots championships in 04, 03, and 01. To see how much they invested in it. Last time out, the Steelers starting foursome, Lamar Woodley, James Farrier, Larry Foote, and James Harrison. Farrier was a free agent who came over to the Steelers from the New York Jets, but originally a first-round pick, in fact, eighth overall. Lamar Woodley, we've documented a lot, a second-round pick. Larry Foote, a fourth-round pick, and James Harrison was not drafted. So a first, a second, a fourth, and an undrafted starts to sound a lot like what the Chiefs linebacker quartet could be, with a first, a first, a third, and an undrafted player. It's clear that you do have to invest. Doesn't necessarily have to be first-round picks, but you better invest in your linebackers, although the Steelers have gotten away probably with the cheapest investment on linebacking of 3-4 teams when it comes to draft pick compensation. 2005, Farrier, again, a first that came over in free agency, but a third in Joey Porter, Larry Foote the fourth, and Clark Hagans a fifth. So they got it done with a first, a third, a fourth, and a fifth. Patriots a little bit different. The most recent 04, Willie McGinnis was playing one of the linebacker spots. He was a first-round pick. And much like Tamba Haley, a defensive end convert. Out of USC, he played defensive end and a guy who transitioned to a stand-up outside linebacker. They'd line him up. Really, they used him in a lot of different ways, sometimes putting his hand on the ground early in his tenure with the Pats. But as an outside linebacker, a former first-round pick, Ted Johnson, a second-round pick of the Pats, Teddy Bruschi, a third-round pick, and another guy, D-end at Arizona, that transitioned, like Tamba Haley, to that outside linebacker spot, a really inside linebacker. They even moved him all the way to the inside linebacker spot, third-round pick in 96, and then Mike Vrabel, who would come over in free agency, a former third. So a first, a second, a third, and a third. And Willie McGinnis and Teddy Bruschi, the most common link or the most similar player to Tamba Haley. 2003, McGinnis and Bruschi are still there. They really played about five different guys. Roman Pfeiffer, Teddy Bruschi also in that mix. But we'll call the starting foursome Willie McGinnis, Roman Pfeiffer, Teddy Bruschi, and Mike Vrabel. Roman Pfeiffer, an undrafted player, much like Jovan Belcher. And go back to 2001, their linebacker. Again, they played about five guys in this mix, so we put them all down. Mike Vrabel, as we've documented. Teddy Bruschi, we've already talked about. Ted Johnson, the second-round pick. Roman Pfeiffer, the second-round pick of the Rams. I think I called him undrafted earlier. Second-round pick of the Rams. But had come over in free agency, so another guy who had switched teams. And then Brian Cox was also a big part of that, a former fifth-round pick of the Dolphins. I think the one thing that stands out here is there are some first-round picks. Willie McGinnis, but again, a guy who changed positions, a former first-round pick. James Farrier, a former first-round pick, but had come over in free agency to the Steelers. I think it's clear that you do have to have some guys that were highly thought of. For the most part, they're all draft picks. But One of the best of the bunch, James Harrison, was not drafted. So if Jovan Belcher makes his way in there, there's precedent for a guy being a very big and even the most important player, defensive player of the year. James Harrison is an undrafted rookie out of Kent State. So there is precedent for a guy like Jovan Belcher not only getting into the starting rotation, but then making a very big impact for that football team. You do have to invest. It looks like draft picks are the way to go, but you don't necessarily have to load up. In fact, the Chiefs with two first-round picks and Tom Bailey and Derek Johnson, if he'd make his way in there, or DeMario Williams, who was a fourth-round pick, or Corey Mays, who was undrafted, if the Chiefs would end up with both first-round picks being a big part, they better get production. The front seven has to get better, and the linebackers are a big part of that. If you're going to have first-round pick money and Derek Johnson and Tom Bailey playing in those spots, they've got to play well. The key to the NFL in a cap era, which we're uncapped this year, but still, the production, it's coming off a cap year. The foundation this team was built in the cap era, it's going to be important to get production from high draft picks. If you're paying high dollars, you've got to get some high production. It's going to be important for this front seven to be better, for the linebacking core to be better this year for the Chiefs. We'll take a break, come back. Jovan Belcher next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. That is when we're live each and every Wednesday. So your questions, comments there in the chat room. Also, always take your emails, redzone@kcchiefs.org. We're going to talk with Chiefs middle linebacker Jovan Belcher right now. Jovan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. What do you think? Getting all the OTAs and mini camps out of the way. Now just a little break and then get on to the regular season. Are you ready for it or you like that break ahead of you?
We've been conditioning a lot, you know. We're getting ready for the preseason, regular season. But, I mean, we can't take steps back over this break. But it'll be nice to, you know, get a little bit of time off, clear your head.
I've had people say, well, they should just do all the mini camps and lead it right on into the into training camp. That way, everything's fresh, and you just kind of get in the routine and keep on working, and just ramp things up with two-a-days. Would that be the right way to go, or do you need a little break to decompress before you start butting heads twice a day?
I think all coaches have their own philosophy on that, but I mean, I guess going straight into it, it'll be fresh in your head, but getting a little, well, I wouldn't call it a break because we're still going to be running and everything, taking care of our bodies, but I guess getting back into it after a week or two, it'll be great review going into camp. So
it's year two with Todd Haley. But it's year one with both of the coordinators. Because it's year two with Todd Haley, do you feel like the team, and it's year two for you as opposed to year one. Maybe let's take it from that angle first, from the individual side. How much easier is it for you having a year of NFL experience under your belt and knowing what's expected of you, what the season's going to be like, the right way to prepare, the wrong way to prepare? How much easier is it for you this year with that year of experience under your belt?
That 1 year of experience helps out a lot because you come in as a rookie, you really don't know what to expect. So coming in this year, knowing what to expect, I guess training with the vets already, being in the film room and everything, learning from them, it's huge. It's real huge. You know how to take care of your body better. You know what to expect from the coaches and you know what to expect from yourself. So I say it's real huge.
I was told that your first year you just want to try to make the team. Then the years after that, you start working on, well, I actually was told first year you try to make the team. The next couple of years you try to make your next contract. And then after that, really the winning side of things. Once you've established yourself in the league, maybe on that second contract, that then the winning really takes over as far as your mindset. You agree at all with that?
Actually, no. I mean, it's just me, though. Some guys that have their own personal opinion on it, but we're all in this to win games,
Yeah.
I feel that you want to win hard enough, you'll play hard, and I feel like that off-field kind of business approach, it'll take care of itself.
Let's go back to my first part of the equation, which was year two under Todd Haley. How much easier is it second year with the same head coach for everybody?
Well, I feel like everyone this year, you now know what he expects from us. So, like I said, it's a lot easier in a way, but he still pushes us, so we will know.
Yeah, well, that's true. You got a new defensive coordinator. How much time have you had a chance to spend with Romeo Crennel?
On the field, off the field, with him in the meetings, but he's a passionate guy. He's real passionate about the game.
I've asked a couple of guys about this, if anybody's had a chance to give him any grief about his beer commercials. Have you have you mentioned those yet in any meetings?
No, I haven't yet. I don't think anyone's got them yet.
Do you think it'll come up at some point?
Yeah, we'll probably get them.
Does he seem like he'd have a pretty good sense of humor about it? He seems like a pretty nice guy to, from my side, but then again, I don't have to work for him.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, real nice. But like I said before, talking football, he's real passionate about the game,
Does he wear his championship rings to practice?
I don't know. I'm usually in my book. I don't pay too much attention to that.
You don't think you would notice if you saw a big flashy or maybe even three flashy Super Bowl rings? I think he might even – he goes back to the Giants. He might even have four or five now that I think about it.
Yeah, he's got a couple. I think he keeps those home.
Yeah.
In a safe place.
Yeah, I would think you'd notice if he decided to break out the hardware. I remember when Dick Vermeil was the head coach and would do the press conferences, and you couldn't help but hear the thing tap on the podium. It was like having a judge's gavel or something banging down on it. I think those things weigh about 20 pounds now. I think you'd notice. How much, and I'm not prying here, I know you don't want to talk about, and the team doesn't want you talking about schemes, exactly what the schemes are and what your assignments are, but just the difference, how different overall, not specifics, but just how different things are when you go from one defensive coordinator to another.
As far as that goes, I think last year compared to this year, a 3-4 defense is a 3-4 defense. And everyone just has really their own philosophy of it, you know.
And it hasn't been that big a transition?
I mean, it's really a philosophy thing. It's some critiques here, some critiques there, and really all together, it's still a 3-4 defense.
What about you playing the linebacker spot? I know you played some D-line with your time at Maine. You played all over the field in high school. Do you feel comfortable now? Do you feel like being a linebacker is instinct now and not having to think through what your assignments are?
Well, I think that'll come with more time. I guess it's getting a lot easier, and having a year under Haley and Gibbs has really helped me out a lot. And learning from the vets that were with me as well. So, yes, it's getting a little easier and getting a lot of help along the way.
And Gary Gibbs, you mentioned your position coach. He's got as much experience as anybody for a linebacker coach. You know, been a head coach at Oklahoma. You know, played the game at a high level. How is he to work with? Is he a pretty intense guy, or is he a little more laid back?
He may seem a little laid back, but he's pretty passionate about the game as well.
Yeah, is he been a guy that it's been good because he gets after you?
Definitely. But he's also great in the classroom too. He'll make sure that you know your stuff. So that's a great thing about him.
You ever talk to him about his Oklahoma days?
Back in the days, I did.
Yeah, yeah. Any great stories he told you?
Yeah, but we'll keep those off the record.
Probably a smart thing. We're talking to Jovan Belcher, Chiefs linebacker here in the red zone. When they don't draft anybody on that front seven, does that make you feel good? Does that make you feel like, hey, the organization's got confidence in me and my guys up here and what we're doing right now?
I'd have to say yes. Yes, but as we just got to keep working. No. That's the whole front seven. Everybody else just got to keep working on that. So,
as a guy who came in last year as an undrafted free agent, did you, you look around and you're trying to make the team. Now that you're the guy that's been on the team and you look at some of these young guys coming in, do you see him as a guy trying to take your job?
No. I mean, competition is competition, but in the end, you know, you still got to work hard and do your job. So, got to help the young guys out too. They're here to help out. So,
you taking any of them under your wing?
I'd say not really. You know, you get pointers here and there when you can and help them out with a little bit of technique, but you know.
How about you know who the first game on the schedule is?
Yes.
And do you know when it is? That it's the Monday nighter. It's part of the Monday night doubleheader.
Hell yeah!
So when you found out that you were going to open on Monday Night Football, how much did that charge you up for the season?
Oh, that gets you real excited right there. You know, everyone's watching. So you're coming out ready for that game. There's no not being ready for it. So
is it special to play on Monday night? I mean, because you know that's the one time that other players around the league can be watching. So do you feel like it's really a showcase for the, you know, your peers as much as it is a normal game for the fans?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that one. I think it's just, you know, everyone's watching and you can really showcase what you got. You know?
Do you know when the last time the Chiefs were on Monday Night Football?
No, I don't. I don't.
You know, I'll tell you how bad it is. I don't either. I'm trying to think. I want to say it was 2005, maybe at the Baltimore Ravens. That was 2004. Might have been after that. There might have been a game in 2005. Boy, I don't remember off the top of my head, but it has been a while. When do you guys start talking about that game specifically? Once you get to training camp, have you already started talking about the Chargers in the opener?
I mean, we talk about it. We talk about it, but right now we're really in the playbook right now. We got to learn the classroom, so.
When you get to training camp, does the conversation begin at that point?
I'd say it's begun a little bit already, but other than that, like I said, it's just kind of we're more focused on ourselves right now, learning the whole system and fluently running things.
What do you think about camp moving down to St. Joe? It should be quite a bit hotter this year at training camp.
Yeah, That's what I hear. Hey, I mean, it'll be in better condition for us, though.
Yeah, that's one of the things that the team has definitely worked on. It's been a real point of emphasis. There's no doubt. It will be hot. It will be humid. So you might want to do some of your workouts outside in the humidity if you're in and around Kansas City. But it's going to be muggy. I remember the days when training camp was in Liberty, and it was very different from what it was up in River Falls, Wisconsin. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, final four time for you, Jovan. My last four quickies. Let's start with this one. You played some D-line in college, as I mentioned. You missed the D-line ever?
Of course.
Really? Why?
It's, you're in the trenches.
Yeah?
No one will ever really respect the D-line for what he's worth until, I guess, you actually understand when you're in the trenches. So.
That makes sense. Why didn't you play quarterback in high school? You seemed to play every other position.
I like to hit. I wasn't really a thrower.
Yeah, okay, that answers that one pretty good. All right, what undrafted rookie has impressed you the most so far in this year's camp?
I can't really give you one. I'd have to say all of them.
All of them?
Yeah, they're all impressive, I got to say.
Are you going to run for team president? Because that's a presidential answer.
Yeah, no time soon, but all of them. I got to go with all of them. They're all impressive.
All right, that's a good answer. I like that. Finally, explain this to me. How is the Maine Black Bears mascot named? I just realized this. It's named Bananas T. Bear.
they got a old story about that one. I guess they had a basketball game up there, and they actually brought a live bear into the gymnasium. And I guess the whole crowd went bananas, so I guess that's how it got its name.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
All right. Bananas T. Bear. I was pretty surprised to see that. We'll see. I like it. I love the name Black Bears. I think it's a great name. So I just was shocked to see Bananas T. Bear. Well, Jovan, always appreciate the time talking to you. Thanks so much, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you down the road.
All right, thank you.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jamal Charles!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game! And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime!
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to KCChiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
In today's hectic world, it's hard enough to find time to manage all your commitments and still find time to pursue a higher education. But at Columbia College, we make it easier. Classes are just 8 weeks long, and you can earn your associate, bachelor's, or master's degree on campus, online, or both. Apply now to Columbia College in Kansas City at www.ccis.edu/about-time. That's www.ccis.edu/about-time.
Hey, Chiefs fans. I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web to buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at kcchiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back here in the Red Zone, kcchiefs.com, wrapping things up. Remember, as I said, I believe the AFC West is absolutely wide open this year. You do not want to miss the opener, Monday Night Football, San Diego Chargers coming to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs in the late Monday Night Football game. It will be an absolutely electric atmosphere, and I believe this division to be wide open. The team that is the favorite, and even with all the personnel questions that are going on out there with this team, I think still the certainly the favorite overall has to be the San Diego Chargers. But I look, if you're down, the players are down, it is going to be absolutely wide open this year. If you want to get your tickets, you can do it right now here at the website, kcchiefs.com. Just click over on the icon that says tickets and grab yourself some season tickets. It should be an outstanding year. Look, I'm a Chiefs fan, longtime season ticket holder, grew up rooting for the Chiefs, so make no bones about it. If I make a mistake, I'm probably going to be overly optimistic rather than overly pessimistic. So take my thoughts with a grain of salt. But I believe this division is looking like it's wide open. Where else would you rather be than Arrowhead Stadium if the Chiefs are playing football, especially on a Monday night? But all season long, I think this has got a very good chance to be a playoff year for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to do it for us here in the Red Zone. I want to thank our guests, Kendall Gammon, Jovan Belcher, Chiefs linebacker. Great stuff from both of them. Thank you to Curtis Siebel, Brad Young, and Adam Pellegrino for putting the operation together. This is Soren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to the Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of kcchiefs.com.